Tournament poker, it's about stamina, determination, patience, and the will to never give up. It's about challenging yourself every day to rise above the rest. Pick your moment, then make your play. With an online tournament starting every second, challenge yourself for free at PokerStars.net and find the PokerStar in you.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's February 13, 2009, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the internet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
It's been a long time coming. First time he's ever been here.
He's back.
He's back, the Bard.
Yeah, I'm back. And as usual, when I come on the show, I would like to begin with a little statement that I'd like to read concerning the subject of love, since it's close to Valentine's Day as we're taping this. And let me just, this will be very brief. He who knows nothing loves nothing. He who can do nothing understands nothing. He who understands nothing is worthless. But he who understands also loves, notices, sees. The more knowledge is inherent in a thing, the greater the love. And what does that have to do with poker, you might ask?
I am asking that, yes.
Thinking that myself.
We say we love poker. But like, love in this country has been so sentimentalized and commercialized around this time of Valentine's Day. What love really is, it requires knowledge and it requires effort. And why do we love poker? Because the more we dedicate ourselves to learning about poker, and the harder we work to get better at poker, the more we actually love the game of poker.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the more we knowledge it.
Now, Scott, that was a quote from Paracelsus. No,
Paris Hilton?
Not Paris Hilton.
No.
Paracelsus. And I'm pretty sure that's the first time Paracelsus has ever appeared on this program.
I thought he said,
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it might be the last time, too.
So you said Paris Hilton, but I thought he said Paracelsus.
Ah, okay.
So for our Portuguese audience who don't know our
welcome
our
to
guest,
the show, by the way.
It's Mike Faso. So this is Mike Faso, the Bard. Lance, Pesto, all the nicknames.
Yeah, and some of those nicknames came from a nasty rumor that he's got a little bit of a temper.
But today it's all about love.
It has not been proven, but we've been saving a clip from one of our listeners that I think is apropos for Fast's return.
Let's take a listen to this.
Hey, guys, this is Scotty Peppers calling. I believe a while ago Faso said that the worst beat you could ever take in poker is to be holding the winning hand, but to have the dealer push the pot to the other player. I have to correct that and say that the worst beat you can ever take in poker is to be holding the winning hand, have the dealer push the pot to you, but then have your friend of 20 years hit you in the head with a brick and kill you dead. Let's just hope Faso never plays Hold'em in Korea.
You know, to be honest, I can see both of you killing me in a poker game, bludgeoning me like that poor Korean guy that was on a show before.
See, now, Mike, that's a bad beat. When your best friend and you play poker for a long time, he beats you and you kill him. That's what a bad beat is. Not that you get the pot shoved the wrong person, but when someone kills their best friend
over
a pot.
I stand corrected.
Well, it's always great to have you back, man.
Well, thanks. I'm glad to be back on this show and this this new avatar nation.
And it was great timing to have you on the show, too, last night, because you killed an Apes last night, did you not?
Was there an Apes tournament last night? I don't remember. I went to fill my ice cube tray, and then between there and going to brush my teeth,
you were up.
Something happened. I don't know. I went all the way with an A and a J.
Yeah, you know, that's how I got knocked out, too. Ace-Jack versus Ace-9. I had the Ace-Jack, and 9 came on a turn. I don't want to get into it. I hate tournaments. I don't want to talk about it.
And I folded Ace-Jack, and that's why I didn't last any longer than you did. But
No. I went out like 42nd. I lasted longer than all you guys. So there's very small grain of something that I can hold on to there to say that it was a decent night. But really, terrible.
You know the worst thing that can happen when you're holding ace jack is that you hit your hand on the flop.
Yeah,
that's the
true.
Worst thing that can happen.
That is true.
So you don't hit that hand if you fold that hand.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about Apes. Yeah. They're saying it's a record.
It was a big turnout.
Big turnout, 168 players. No doubt part of that from the Brazilian contingent who bombarded our free roll last week. But but still, 168 players. That's a nice turnout, nice payday for first. And speaking of first, who won?
Rich Smooth is how he's requested it be.
Rich Smooth.
The official pronunciation guide in the Anti-Up Apes special program.
See, I thought it was Rich's move. And then we had somebody call in, this person who finished second, Nuanced, and he called in and he called him Rich's Muv or something. So I don't know what that was.
You know, what's really great is when somebody calls in and we have a clip and then you have to tell people what they said. We could probably just, how about we just play the clip?
All right, let's play the clip.
Hey, this is Nuance613, a.k.a. Cynic Light. I just came second in Apes round one. Congratulations to Rich Smuv21 for an excellent, excellent heads up. As I mentioned in the forums, my King Ten of Hearts are bleeding, stabbed by the Rivered Five that hit his King Five. And I'd just like to say everyone was awesome to play with. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, that's a tough way to go out dominated. Brutal. But yeah, it was a good heads up. I think they almost would have been even. And, of course, I'm saying this knowing that I was completely asleep.
Yes,
the fire
drifting in and out of consciousness, Scott was, and then wakes up when the final table's over.
I'm going to put this out to the Andy Up Nation. I am just a simple request. when I get booted from an Apes event, and of course, you know, it's unfairly booted because I always had the best hand.
Right.
It would be nice if everybody left and the tournament just went all in so I could go to bed. That's all I'm saying. Just one simple request.
Hear, hear. I second that.
Scott was at my table. He got quads on the third hand.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I couldn't get Faso to pay me off.
How is this for going out? I fold a full house because I know I'm beat. And then three hands later, I get busted with ace jack. I mean, man. How dumb is that?
Well, congratulations to Rich Smooth for winning the first event. And so did we have any information on our second event?
Yes. It is in March.
Excellent. Do we know what it's going to be?
It is
going to
be Pot Limit, Omaha.
Excellent.
And just in case we have any Portuguese interlopers on the show, you can go to our website at antiupmagazine.com/apes, A-I-P-S, to get all the information. But the next free roll is coming up on Wednesday, February 25th. Another amazing 28 or so seats will be given away.
Sweet.
Free. I predict that the winner of that free roll will be from Belo Horizonte.
And then real quick, before we move on, our longtime listener, Alan Stewart, ran the chat from the free roll through a Yahoo little quickie Spanish to English translation thing just to see what was going on there for all you out there that thought there was mass collusion going on. And some highlights from the cartel that had taken over the free roll. Good hand, I tell you.
Wow, that there's some code terrible, in there. Terrible. There's some code in that terrible. Somehow.
Bueno Palmas,
our very good players. Ugh.
Oh, what a smack in the face that is in any of nations.
English only, people.
Saying we're good.
We've broken open this thing. I tried takes blinds, you the fire.
You the fire.
All right, and now it starts to get a little more nefarious. Also, I speak to him of the password.
Oh, open sesame.
Okay, all right. So we're getting somewhere. And then finally, thanks. Already we are in contact with the enemy.
Oh, we got ourselves a terrorist plot here.
See, somebody is trying to invade the nation.
Yeah, this is red alert. Bring us to DEFCON 5.
But once again, we welcome with open arms all the legitimate Portuguese and Spanish-speaking new fans of Anti-Up to the free roll on February 25th.
So, you know, we've been holding this for a while, but Scott and I have been playing a lot on PokerStars, obviously, because it's a fantastic site. And we're playing a lot of five-card draw, Mike. And we thought you might appreciate this, although I know you're more of a fan of five-card stud. But we saved it to talk about while you were here. Scott's been having some unrivaled success.
I can't imagine how much fun I'm having playing this game that I haven't played since I had my old Commodore VIC-20.
Are you playing Pot Limit?
I am playing Pot Limit, yes. Yeah. In fact, actually, Chris was mentioning Limit the other day, and I about screeched the car to a halt and bludgeoned my head because I can't imagine playing at Limit. But.
Well, I can. I've played it. At Limit,
me too.
And it's not bad. I was thinking about Five Cards Draw the other day because it's the game there is much less information, obviously.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with a situation where if you dealt like a good hand, two pair, like let's say tens and eights or something, you're pretty much going to see the end of the hand.
Right.
But is there ever a situation where, you know, if you got a three-way hand and you see heavy betting
hey,
in front of you,
it's a family show.
That you're going to have to dump that hand.
And, yeah.
You know, you hate to give up a hand like that, but on the other hand, you just have no way of knowing. I can easily see dumping two pair in hold'em in all kinds of different situations.
Right.
For one extra bet or for a pot bet in draw, I find it very difficult. And even though if you know you're going to be up against trips.
Which is why I like playing at limit, because then it's just one more bet to try to get those.
See, this is so weird,
outs.
The transformation of our partnership.
I know.
All of a sudden, I can't stand limit, and you're advocating limit.
Well, it's not that I'm advocating it. I just enjoy a five-card draw that way.
No, but you said the cardinal rule of limit, that, hey, you can see that last card for free. Yeah. That's the advantage of limit.
What about when you have trips, Scott, and you draw one to be deceptive? Do you ever do that?
You know, I actually did that once. Sometimes I do that with pairs, and I hold on to an ace, too, just to throw some deception in there, because I think people get into that trap of if you draw two, that it almost always has to be trips, right?
Yeah.
Because why else would you do it unless you're going to be a moron and hold an ace like I have?
Well, as you guys know, I'm the golden child of the family and travel a half an hour every Friday or Saturday to go see my parents, and we always sit down and play the game, and the parental units appreciate the five-card draw. And three-handed five-card draw, I got to tell you, we have made some massive hands again. And I just don't understand. I guess it's because the full deck is out and you can make, I don't know. But, I mean, we're talking like, you know, straights over straights, flushes over, you know, straights, full houses over flushes. I mean, three-handed.
I've seen quads over quads, actually.
Really? This is what we're talking about. Just three-handed, you know. It's just amazing some of the hands you can make in that game. And no one believes you either when you make it. Mm. No one will believe you. And that's the best part. That's what I love about it. You can really pump it when they don't believe
it.
Oh,
that's the thing. If you get trips, you think you've got
true.
The nuts.
Yeah. But I like it. I like the game. I think it's juicy on stars, and I advise everyone to try it out.
Yeah, so we'll work on maybe a future show looking into this hidden gem.
Yeah, I mean, we've had listeners write in before and ask us about it, so we've given our advice.
It's a game that everybody, almost, whoever learned poker as a kid, it was the first game you ever played.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get Carol back on the show and have him.
Yeah, there we go. It has to be a four-parter.
Yeah, it has to be a four-parter.
Like to talk.
Day two, the draw. Oh, my God.
Can I just say bullshit? Because I know I usually don't like to work blue, but now that you guys are doing the show here, can I say that?
Oh, I'll still beep you out, though.
Oh, all right. Fair enough.
All right, it's time for our Ante Up News Desk.
All right, Jamie Gold, the 2006 World Series of Poker main event champion, has signed with Aced Poker on the Merge Gaming Network. Poker News Daily reports Gold previously represented Bodog.
Do you think that Gold just sat there and, like, talked forever until these guys gave him what he wanted? You don't have a queen, do you? You don't have a queen, do you? Oh, you got to sign me to a deal. Yeah, you don't have a queen. I got you. That's got
to
be it.
Oh, and a part of the deal is he has to go all in with top pair, top kicker every time he gets it.
You have to sign me. I have top. I tried to tell you. You have to sign me.
Playing cards have been used often to highlight criminals or war enemies, Chris, right? Now they're being used to detail labor laws, the Chinese Xinjia agency reports. I know that's not even close, Pike, right?
I don't know what you're saying.
You're a student of the world, right?
I'm not even making a comment here, because I just couldn't wait for Scott to try to pronounce some of these things on this.
The cards and are an effort by the Haiku City to promote migrant workers' unemployment, and they were distributed at a job fair in the southern China city.
Haiku. I'm surprised Faso didn't roll off a haiku there.
575, all right?
Yeah, 575.
Yeah, very good. All right. Ben Affleck, Andy Block, former Senator Alphonse D'Amato, Richard and Kyle Petty, Mike Sexton, Montel Williams, and Annie Up's very own Lee Childs will be playing in the Paralyzed Veterans of America Go All In for Veterans Poker Tournaments. They'll be February 26th at the Rio for $750 and March 25th at the Hyatt Regency Washington on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., for a mere $500. For more info, contact Meredith at 703-288-8686.
I have nothing funny to say about that.
Well, you can't
share it. It's a good thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's so just, not, you know, they don't have to all be funny. It's news.
I know. Don't look at me for funniness, though.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to be...
All right. Well, we'll bring the funny with the last one. Finally, Gus Hansen will battle rival poker and squash rival. Squash, Chris.
Squash.
Squash rival Theo Jorgensen in the boxing ring in Copenhagen. With about 35,000 smackers in the line, The match will air live on February 21st on Gus TV, which is www.gushansontv.com.
I think we should give Fasso his own TV station.
No, I think you two guys ought to do like Greco-Roman wrestling.
I would destroy you.
Sumo with those big fake sumo things at the hockey games?
One of you wouldn't need a fake thing. Or
yeah,
maybe
that's
both
true.
Of you
that's
would,
true.
That hey, matter. I'm losing weight, pal.
That's right. Okay.
You know what? I've been wanting to tell you this, too. I've been doing power walking along the training route that I took when I kicked your ass in the race for the Hyundai. So
for the Hyundai?
For the Hyundai.
You mean the Hyundai?
Ooh, there's a car.
So, no, but I've been walking that, you know. That same, well, hearing that rocky
music. You
said
you'd never run again. And now
I'm not running, I'm walking.
You are.
Oh, I'm power walking.
You're power walking.
Yeah, I will not ever run again.
And
I won't even run.
I got to tell you guys both were an inspiration to my wife, because when she comes back from a very bad run, she's like, I didn't even beat Fasso's time today.
I seriously
that's
thought
the benchmark that
that video was slow mode. It had to be.
And I just want to go on record now and let you know that I could have run a way better time than I did, but I was just having fun with you. I was breaking 8 minutes like about 3 weeks in, and I never wanted to tell you.
Well, I knew when we took a little jog in the parking lot on the way out one night from work.
That was hilarious, too,
by
the way.
I said, no, there's no way I can win this. Forget it. I said, like, how fast are you going to run, Chris? And he's like, bloop, 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 bloop. I said, all right, that's it.
Completely with sound effects.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All right, well, I know, I hear the Antiup hotline, 813-448-1120. So if you call that line and we'll use your clip, we will give you something nice from our swag shelf.
From the swag shelf.
With the RPG, the random prize generator. So let's listen to this clip. It comes from Mike.
Hey, guys. It's Mike from Gardner, Massachusetts. This weekend I took a trip down to Mohegan Sun with a friend of mine. First time in their new poker room. Just to let you guys know and all the listeners out there, they have 2-4 and 3-6 limit. Also, they have 5-10 limit, 30-60. And they had a 200, 400 limit table going. For no limit, they had 1, 2, 2, 5. For no limit hold'em. For a stud, they had 1 to 5 and 30, 60. For Omaha 8, they had 4 and 8 and 30, 60. They also had a hose table going that was 4, 8 and 10, 20 hose. They also have an interesting rule down there that I had never seen. I was wondering if you guys ever heard of it. If they would split pot instead of going by where the button was, it went to the high card based on suit that caused the split pot. So, like, I had the ace king and sorted another person, but I had the ace of spades, so I actually got the extra dollar versus the other person. Just curious if you guys saw that rule. Love the show.
All right, lots going on with the Mohegan Sun.
Yeah.
A lot of action. I'd like to go there now. Is this the place where they use the automatic tables?
No, they got rid of those. Now they have the real 42 real tables,
great.
And it's rivaling Foxwoods. So
it sounds like they've got a lot of different games.
Yeah, 5-10 limit.
Yeah.
4-8
stud.
Omaha with kills.
Yeah. Nice little review there. But
what about this high card in suit?
That is so weird.
Split pot.
That is so
weird. Who comes
weird.
Up with the stuff?
I don't understand why they do that. You know, that's good for like a color-up or something, but not for real money.
Usually it's the closest to the worst position.
Worst position gets the extra chip.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Or actually, a split. Well,
or
yeah,
in a high-low, it's
high
the,
low
high,
would be the
high hand gets the extra chip.
That's just ridiculous.
So see, someone's out there trying to solve a problem that doesn't need to be solved.
Well, you know
all
what?
These problems in the country, and this is what the brain power is trying
you
to solve.
You know what? It's in Connecticut. Nothing surprises me with that armpit of a state. So
wow.
I'm not surprised.
All right, well, give a big old spin on that that prize wheel there, Chris, and we'll see what Mike from Mass wins. Oh, an oldie but goodie. Texas Hold'em strategy cards from greatpokerhands.com.
Awesome.
Mike, take those out to Mohegan Sun when you play all those great games and win some money.
Show those fish from Connecticut how it's really done.
I will check and see, but I don't know if any of those strategy cards have how to win a high card suit split pot, but maybe he'll work on that.
All right, well, we got another letter from the mailbag. No surprise there. We've been getting tons of mail lately, especially with our move to Poker Stars. This is a good one. This one comes from Kel Watley of Houston, Texas. Do you want me to read it or do you want to read it?
I like to read.
All right, go ahead.
You can't read, but you like to try.
Exactly.
He likes
see, to try. I'm practicing. I'm working to become a better man.
I hate it when he reads because post-editing is just a nightmare.
Yeah.
All right, Kel wants to know, I wanted to see if you guys would divulge your biggest winning cash game session. Shoot, and I had to change the word to shoot because it's a family show. Shoot, if you want to puke up your biggest losing two, that would be cool.
Oh, sorry.
All right, well, let Fasso go first.
I honestly don't know what my biggest cash game winning session was. It could have been on this most recent trip.
Ah, excellent.
It wasn't huge because I was only playing the 3-6 limit hold'em at the Hawaiian Gardens, but I sat there for the better part of a day, you know, showed up in the morning, left early evening, and cashed out with like 2.5 racks or something.
Wow.
I mean, that's not a big score, but it was nice.
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, I'm sure he's
probably
looking
racks
for
up from what I started with.
I'm sure Kel is looking for a big dollar sign here, but I mean, as far as in terms of big blinds, I mean, that's probably a better gauge of your best session, right?
Yeah, you know, and I'm not sure. I think this letter might have been longer, and he talked about how his buddy told him how, you know, his buddy said, I won 1500 or whatever, but he said, yeah, but I won 600 playing 1-2, and you won 1500 playing 5-10, which is like three big bets, you know? So, yeah, I think in relation to what you buy in for, you know, I don't think the total denomination matters. I think it's, you know,
well, so in my case, that was like 60 big bets or something.
Hmm.
Or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I think when you and I went to Tunica and that little crappy 2-4 game at the Smoky
Joe's.
Yeah, what was that? I can't remember that casino now, but I remember having the 2-4 night of my life and cashing out for about, well, I guess it would be about 70 big blinds. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'd never won more than $300 or $400 at a time in any.
Yeah, that's probably about me too. At Binion's, I probably had a $400 win.
I know. Now let's hear Chris answer this because Chris plays the big no limit games
on the show. Documented when I won that $800. I had an $800 day at Foxwoods. I bought in for $100 and came home with like $870.
Oh,
so that's like $45.
Yeah, he called me from the parking lot. Like,
I'm calling from the parking lot saying, "Oh my God, I hope my wife shows up soon because someone's going to roll me with all this money." So I don't know, what's that, 400 big blinds?
Yeah,
I guess.
That doesn't count, Mr.
But in limit, you know, I think when we were at the Orleans, I had a real nice stud 8 session, 4-8.
It's funny you should mention the Orleans because the Orleans was probably the place where, Scott, I don't know about you, but I lost more in one session at the Orleans than ever.
I was going to say, when we puke up our biggest losing sessions, it has to start with O and end with an S.
Remember that Orleans game? We were playing 4-8 hold'em, and then it went to Omaha, and then we did like stud and stud 8.
Yeah.
And then somebody said, let's play Raz.
Raz, yep.
And then I went through just like rack after rack after rack. I started in a Raz hand with 4 to a wheel, and I ended up having to fold the hand on 6th Street. I mean, how is that even possible?
Yeah. But, that was when we went through the night, right?
Yeah, I think that was the same night that we sat down in that ugly pot limit Omaha game for one hand.
Oh, for one hand.
So you guys all got the fold, but I had set and lost my got stacked in the one hand I played.
Scott lost like 90 bucks on one hand, and we all folded and left, and the table broke up.
But I must have lost $400 or $500 at that session.
So yeah, easily.
My worst.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And we've never been back.
Wow.
I'll never play at the Orleans again. I mean, why would I? It's the toughest room in town, as far as I'm concerned.
It is absolutely the toughest room.
I did well there.
All right, so you got lucky.
But it's I played no limit hold'em too. When you guys all kept playing the stud stuff, so that's why. But my worst losing session was online. Clearly, I lost like.
And we've heard about every one.
Yeah, I think I lost $400 in one day. And it was that day I lost that $400 pot with that one outer, and I gave up on poker. I think it was like $400 that day. It might have been a little less. Might have been $300, but that was the worst. But you gotta remember, it's so weird. I mean, we don't play for high stakes. So this some guys buy in for what we lose.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. And this is like, if this is the worst and best we've done, I think we're doing all right as far as not getting it too serious.
How about you, Sky? What's the worst, most you ever lost?
It has to be that Orleans.
It had to be that Orleans session.
$400 or $500.
Yeah,
we both got killed.
I similarly had another online session where back when, you know, when I was kind of new to it and I didn't realize the difference between 1-2 no limit and 2-4 no limit. I'm like, hey, it's all no limit, right? What's the matter with the blinds are? And I sat down at 2-4 and found out quickly when I sucked out on somebody and tripled up with my kings that caught a king or something. And then very next hand, I went all in with queens and lost it all. So. But, you know, that was found money, so I guess that doesn't count.
All right, well, that was a great letter, so we'll give another spin.
Yeah, but first, podcast at antiupmagazine.com. That's the email address you send to get on the mailbag and to have Chris spin the wheel for you to see what we win.
Let's do it now.
Spin it. All right, a new item. Kel, you win a T-shirt from MonsterChips.com.
Remember those chips,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, those chips are huge.
I'm still trying to shuffle them.
The shirt probably isn't as huge as the chips.
No. Those chips were huge, man. I used them as hubcaps on my Honda. They were sick.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another one-minute mystery, the case of the oboe concerto. It's early in a large-field multi-table tournament, and we've been unable so far to accumulate any additional chips. Fold, limp, and it gets to us with ace of diamonds, queen of spades. Now, I want to discourage players with better position from calling me here, so I make it 5x big blind to go. It folds all the way back around to the limpers, who both call.
Some would say that pastrami is a more interesting meat than salami, and they would also be incorrect, sir.
The flop comes down, 10 of clubs, 10 of spades, 3 of clubs, and our two limpers both check. Well, early rounds or not, this is an easy board for me to make a c-bet on, and that's what I'm going to do. I make a bet of about 2/3 the size of the pot, and our first limper immediately folds, but our second one calls. The turn now comes the 8 of spades, and again, our limper checks. The pot is 1750, and you have 1800 behind, as does our opponent. So are you going to fire again, or are you just going to sit tight?
The Oboe Concerto.
I like that name. Actually, it's apropos for our classical music buff.
That's right.
Yeah, Brooker, as you called it on the thing.
I thought it was Bruckner. I saw a couple balls go out of your leg.
Oh, yeah. We never said that. He's Bruckner 7th on PokerStars, in case anybody doesn't know.
And people who know about anything other than their own navel will understand what that means, but that excludes you too.
So. All right. Well, when I see you on PokerStars, I'm going to have to get Edie Brickell now, too.
So. I know there's lint in my navel. all right. So what I think is, I think we're still ahead here. I think this guy's on a draw. That's what I think.
I would fire another bet.
Me too.
I would, however, if it blanks on the river and he checks again, I probably would maybe try to steal it with another bet. But if he fires out on the river, I might be willing to just dump it. He could have like a small pair.
Yeah, but it feels like a draw to me with the call. So
yeah.
I'm feeling like a draw, and I'm going
to
fire.
You definitely
again.
Need to fire on the turn.
Yeah, I agree. You?
Yeah, you got to bet here.
It's just like poker. At first you play, and maybe you're not so good. So you practice, and then you practice some more. And you know what? Eventually you find your rhythm, your game, and you get better. And there you are, a poker player. Learn to play better poker for free at the world's largest online poker site, PokerStars.net, and find the poker star in you.
So, Mike, what was it like on the left coast? You're just back from the LA Poker Classic undercard events, and you played cash games in too, but what was it like out there? How'd it go?
LA is my favorite poker city. It really is.
Cool.
I like it better than I might not ever go back to Las Vegas.
You're going back.
It's such a drag to go out there. It really is. I love LA because not only do you have poker, but you have all kinds of other great things out there. I just love LA. I love playing at Commerce and the Hawaiian Gardens. Those are my two favorite places to play. That's where I went on this trip. I played in the undercard event number 6, I think it was. The Omaha 8, 335 buy-in.
Excellent.
I had made some notes about not playing in it because I said, you know, I'm doing so well at the limit hold'em that why would I even bother? Well, I wish I would have kept to that because I was sitting at the 3-6 the morning of the Omaha event, and they made an announcement, we've got a $40 satellite to the Omaha event. Now we need two more players. It's upstairs in the ballroom, and I like, zip, I went up there. I said, okay, $40, I'll take a stab.
Right.
Of course, I bubble on that.
Oh.
Some guy, we get down to four-handed, and some guy says, let's chop it up. I'm like, you're going to chop up $400 four ways, and we paid $40? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So nobody would do that. Then as soon as I bust, they all chop it up three ways.
Yeah. There you go.
So I said, you know, the tournament had started. It was like in the middle of the first level. And I said, the hell with it. So I went ahead and just bought in directly.
Oh, my God.
So I had a good time playing. It was a great structure. They start you with 3,000 chips, 40-minute levels, good blind levels. I read the Mattisau chapter in the Full Tilt Guide about how to play these things, which I followed pretty much, which is that in the early levels, you need to be limping and also occasionally playing high-only hands. But then once the blinds start to kick in, you need to never play a high-only hand, and you need to come in raising. And I pretty much did that. I got down onto fumes. I had like three chips left, which should have never happened, but I did. I mean, I got my money in good, and then I got, like, you know, sucked out on the river.
So, right.
So I had like three chips left, and I went heads up with this guy. There was enough chips that it was a decent pot, and I ended up winning with a pair of sixes.
Oh, excellent. I love
so
that.
Wow. I ran it from three chips back up to about 5,000 chips, and then I went in the dumper again. But there was a guy sitting next to me who fired a card into the dealer's forehead.
Excellent.
No way.
Did he recognize you?
Was he Sicilian?
Did he use the signature
he
Massimo
had like a
foot?
Texas Longhorns hat on. Is that the orange hat?
Yes, yeah. Orange, yeah. Yeah.
And the dealer said, I need a floor. We got a card down.
And
the floor comes over, and the guy says, the floor says to him, how'd that get down there? And the guy says, well, it came over from that direction. And he says, how fast? He says, it was traveling pretty fast.
Oh, my God.
That's what we need, radar guns at the poker table now.
So anyway. Excuse me, guys. Yeah, I'm getting over a little bit of a cold here. But it was a good tournament. However, it didn't really match in terms of the financial rewards.
Yeah.
The 3-6 games at Commerce and the Hawaiian Gardens. I will go on record. You like to go on record?
It's not the third time you've done it, this show, so keep going on record.
No, but you went on record.
See, the joke's on you because this whole show's on record.
The worst 3-6 Hold'em players on earth reside under that tent at the Hawaiian Gardens. I have never seen worse players in my life. My life!
Now, is it just Hold'em, or were you playing other games out there that they're bad at, too?
At the Hawaiian, I just played Hold'em.
Wow.
At the Commerce, I also played some 4-8 stud. In fact, I never played a single hand of No Limit this whole trip.
Fantastic.
And, Scott, I think you can appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's very nice. That's nice.
Hey, what are you saying? I can't appreciate the fact that you love the game of poker and that you want to make it more of a less slugfest of shoving stacks? Or, I mean, what are you trying to say? I don't appreciate
when you're
limit poker?
And you're tight and you have no heart like me, that's what you have to play. You have to play limit.
So you played straight stud for 7-4?
Yeah, just straight high 4-8. About broke even at that, but I was at a tremendous table because there was action. I mean, there was more action at this 4-8 stud game than I would see at a 1-2 table.
Holy cow,
easily.
Wow.
7 out of 8 pots were over $100.
Very nice.
And people were capping it and everything. On the other hand, the worst players on earth, as I said, that Hawaiian game,
yeah.
I sat there for 7 or 8 hours at a table that was so passive and so weak that there was never one time in that 7 or 8 hours where it was 3-bet before the flop.
Oh, my God.
And
so then you fit right in there because you didn't 3-bet either, right?
No, I mean, I changed up a little bit so that they understood that when I showed down a good hand and then I came in betting again,
yeah,
you know, even if I missed occasionally after that, they would respect me.
Wow.
So, and it sounded like... it sounded almost like an aviary in there.
Yes.
Because all the birds are flying around.
Yeah. Chips.
Oh, okay.
I mean.
I thought because it was outside in the tent.
No. It's like they peel off 20s like constantly. These guys are constantly going into their wallet peeling off 20s. And, of course, at the Commerce, there were a little more annoying players. Hawaiian is just nice guys. At the Commerce, you had the annoying people, the table captain type of guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Scott, you know about this. As soon as a person stands up and leaves, I mean, they haven't even pushed back their chair, and this old guy's going, we got an empty seat here. We're going to get somebody to fill this seat.
The seat open.
And you'll love this. We had a woman there who was one of these, like,
did she get a straight flush?
Sour, sad sack, sour old puss.
Yeah, it's the same woman, right?
And
does she have a mustache?
She's like limping into every pot, and then she shows me her hand. It's like ace-eight, and when the flop misses her, she's like showing me her hand. Can you believe this? this beautiful hand missed. I mean, I'm just sitting. Then she orders food, right?
Actually, we had to order food there.
Takes her about a half hour to get the order right. And then she, like, chair hops all around the table, dragging her food with her. She changes her seat three times. She drags her steamed dumplings with her everywhere she goes.
Oh, good choice. I like the steamed dumplings.
The steamed dumplings are awesome at the Commerce.
Yeah.
And the fried rice for $3.95, you can't beat it.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't beat that with a stick.
And then wash it down with some green tea ice cream.
I had the green tea ice cream at the Hawaiian. It was awesome. I will go back to the Hawaiian, and I will take down those 3-6 games all day long. That is one of the best. That was one of the highlights of the trip.
So next time you're on the show, make sure you read a poem that has the word discipline in it.
Discipline?
Because then you would not have sat down at that Omaha A table.
I should not have played in the tournament. Yeah. I should have just gone back to the Hawaiian and...
So you can't have any regrets. But you go out there, you got to play. I mean, you went out there because of the LA Poker Classic in part, right? So, you know, you had to take it one step.
I agree. Was that the only event you played in? I thought you played in two.
No, I was thinking about playing in the stud event, which was the day before the Omaha. But I was doing so well at Hawaiian that I just blew that off.
Oh, okay.
And the Omaha event was, they had about 250 people enter.
Mm-hmm.
I lasted about level 7, I think it was. I went out somewhere around the halfway point, like 120th or something. I didn't do well, but I honestly don't think I played poorly. I can't really put a finger on any mistake. I just had some bad matchups. Like, I got quartered with ace, ace, deuce, king or something, double suited.
Wow.
Actually made my hand, and I got quartered.
Jeez.
So, I mean, that's kind of tough.
Yeah.
Did you have the high card in the suit, though?
The one thing I will say, the table captain thing
is
annoying. But the best time to have these table captains is at the Omaha event. Have you ever sat at an Omaha event where you didn't have the dealer being instructed on how to chop up the pot?
No.
Don't you take the side pot first? Divide the side pot first. No, you got to quarter the side pot, and then you got to pull that in. No, don't pull that in. Pull that in. No, you got to split the pot in half, and then you got to quarter. Give him half of that, and then you got to bring in the side pot.
I'm sorry, but see how well he does that? I mean, he is the table captain in our home game, is he not? I'm sure he's just quoting himself there.
Oh, my God. No, I was happy to let the experts take over because I had no idea what was going
on.
Man,
that's unbelievable.
But I love L.A., and I will like to go back there next year. And Scott, you ought to come with me.
Yeah, I do. I do like going to L.A., and I do miss it. You know, in fact, all of our trips that we've taken together, obviously we got a lot more... yucks out at the border in Canada on that trip, but I had the most fun at the L.A. trip. It's a good place to play poker.
Speaking of yucks, I'll just have this quick story about Scott, because this tells a lot about Scott.
And I wasn't even there.
No.
Is there a story about
this? Oh, my God.
Legendary. This was about the game that was played at my house about a month ago.
Okay.
I wondered why Scott was acting so peculiarly. And then the next morning, I woke up and looked in the wastebasket, and there were 12 cans of empty Bush beer in there. And I thought, oh, that explains it.
And he was the only one drinking.
He was pulling cards out of his you-know-where.
Yes.
He was making hands. You were there.
This is the one that I remarked on a few weeks ago when he called a $12 bet on a gut shot only against me and hit it.
Well, after you flounced out, which you did.
Oh, flounced. Nice word.
We were getting the chips and, you know, cashing out, and everybody had cashed out except me and Scott, and I had lost like half of my buy-in. So
I had
about 50
buy-ins
left. I had about 50 chips, actually 48 or whatever, and Scott had all the rest of the chips. So I said, okay, Scott, I looked at what I had left in cash, and it looked like about 250 or something. So I said, you probably got 200 or whatever it was. He's like, I got like 417 here? I'm like, Scott, wait a minute. I don't even have 417 in my hand, much less paying me my 50. I got 417! I'm like, I look over his stacks. Every stack is a different height. Every stack has all three colors of chips in it. All right? I'm like, all right, Gambit, tear down these stacks. Build them up right. Let's see what Scott's doing. I got 417. Where's my money?
Tear down that wall,
Scott,
Mr. Gorbachev.
He had dirty stacks. He had multi-numbered stacks. He had, oh, my God, that was as you would say, that was hilarious.
That was hilarious.
I mean, Scott is a real fun guy when he has a few.
You know, when I first started playing poker with you guys, I thought for sure Scott would drink every time we played. And he doesn't. No, and now I thank God that he doesn't drink when we play.
He had a ride home that night.
That's from now on, he has to drive everywhere he plays because I don't want him drunk in my game. He makes so bad plays, it's unbelievable. And yet he gets rewarded for it. We can't have that anymore.
No. I think we should. I think it's good. It's good fun to have him in the game.
With poker, like a lot of things, not everything can be taught. You read the books, you study the players, but sometimes it's just about instinct. So you play and you practice and practice, and one day you don't think it, you feel it. Practice for free at the world's largest poker site, PokerStars.net, and find the poker star in you.
Got a stud eight today, boys.
Excellent.
Been saving this up for somebody who knows how to play stud eight. No offense, Chris.
The guy who got knocked out of a recent tournament trying to play kings to the river in this game.
Unbelievable.
All right, well, here we go. It's from a longtime listener, Brian Bitguru Cole. And it is it's level 5 of a 315-player horse tournament. So this is the stud 8 rotation. Limits are 80-160 with an ante of 15. And our hero is sitting on 1495 in chips. And there are only two players with fewer chips than him at the table. All right, we got it?
Yep.
Got your pens ready because I knew you guys like to write down cards and stuff.
Yeah, we're all set.
All right, so everybody ante's 15, which is important.
But we know that.
It's a standard ante size.
It's the ante.
I was just going to try to get reaction out of here. All right, here we go. Up cards are 5 of diamonds, 3 of hearts, 3 of clubs, 9 of spades, 9 of diamonds, 10 of spades, 7 of hearts, 3 of clubs, and our hero has the the 8 of spades up. Underneath, he has ace of clubs, ace of spades. So, buried aces with an 8 up.
All righty.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we are ready?
Yep.
The 3 clubs obviously brings it in for 25. It is completed by the... Ooh, that's weird. The 9 of spades.
Mm.
The best card for stud 8. we get a fold, we get a call, and it gets back to us. And what do we do?
First of all, you don't have a lot of bets here with your stack compared to what the big bet is. If it's been completed, I'm going to go ahead and raise it.
Yep.
Okay.
I agree.
I'm ready to go basically to the end on this hand.
Just so you know, I read Brunson's chapter yesterday.
Okay.
So, I agree.
Yesterday.
Yes, I literally read it yesterday.
It's still fresh in your memory.
It's fresh in my head, so I totally agree with that.
All right. Okay, well, that's what our hero does. He gets another call behind him, the complete calls, and then the other limper calls as well, too.
So, you got four-way action?
Four-way action.
What hands are still alive, Scott?
Oh, man.
The
all the good ones.
All right, how about the next street? We just say what they are again.
There we
remember.
Go. That's exactly what I was going to do. Thank you. Thank you for slowing down the entire hand.
Sorry.
All right, 4th street. The 5 of diamonds picks up a 2 of clubs. The 9 of spades, who completed last time, for those that aren't paying attention, picks up the 6 of clubs. Tony Montana, who had the 10 of spades, gets a king of hearts. And our hero picks up the 2 of spades. So now it has 3 to a low, 3 spades, and of course the buried aces.
3 spades? I thought he had the ace of spades.
Ace of spades, 8 of spades, 2 of spades.
Oh, 8 of spades, that's right, okay.
Yep. Stay with me here.
Sorry.
So you got 4 to a low, you got 3 to a flush.
3 to a low.
And you got 3 to a low.
I'm sorry, I had 2 aces written down, so I disagree earlier.
Okay.
With 8, ace, 3, I would not have done anything other than just call. Luckily,
ace,
3. Call.
No, he had... Buried aces with an 8 up.
Oh, with an 8 up. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm totally lost. Let Fassel take the rest of this hand.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, I just said 4 to a low, and it's actually 3 to a low, so I'm confused, too.
Wow.
Okay, well, then I agree again.
You're going to the wall with this hand. This hand is going to be
the hand of the week. I'm not going to the wall. This is your first hand of the week on the show, Mike. But this is not a. Am I going to the end of the hand or not? It's a little more layered than that.
Yeah, and I'm not going to the end with this automatically. There's just no way automatically going to the end with this. There's no way.
All right, the King 10 checks. We are next to act with our ace underneath, our other ace underneath, and our eight of spades and our two of spades up.
Bet.
Okay, I agree with that.
All right. You know, it's early. Might as well see where we're at, right?
The only thing, though, is that you just don't want to be second best going each way. And you got a five deuce in front of you, too, now.
And he has somebody that completed
with a nine. So he could easily have ace, ace, nine. He could be rolled up, although it's doubtful because another nine was out. But I just don't want to be second best going both ways either. So,
but you probably might find out by betting here.
Yeah,
you're probably not going to find out by not betting.
Yeah, maybe. I'd just be happy to take another card off too, though.
And Fasso's asleep over there, so we'll keep moving on. All right, so he bets out. He gets called around.
That's not a
surprise.
All right,
so I feel good about my high right now, though.
People are not going to fold on 4th Street.
I was wondering if you know, we can finally see if that guy had the case 9 underneath.
Case 9.
Yeah, and raise, but he didn't. So I'm feeling pretty good. All right. 5th Street, the 5 diamonds gets and the 2 of clubs gets an 8 of hearts. Will might have got there. The 9 of spades, 6 of clubs gets a 7 of diamonds. Don't really know what that does to help him. The 10 of spades, king of hearts gets a queen of diamonds. Working on Broadway. And we get the ace of hearts, so we have trips now.
Now do you think you're going to the end with this hand?
Yeah, maybe.
Mr. Layers?
Well, I am now. Well, with just a pair of aces, I wasn't set on it, but now I am with a set. Hey, I'm going to the end, though.
All right, so what's the action?
So it starts with us, and we're going to bet out, of course, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And called around again.
All right.
Golden pot for ourselves.
Very exciting hand.
6th Street, the 5, deuce, 8 gets a 6 of spades. The 9, 6, 7 gets the king of clubs. The 10, king, queen gets the jack of diamonds. Uh-oh. And we get the 5 of hearts.
I bet again.
Yeah, I mean, we have 2 of the 9s are definitely out, probably 3. So the guy doesn't have the baby end of that straight, probably. And we have 3 of the aces. So I'm not really too worried about Broadway, and if he does have it, we could still fill up.
The tens are live though, so that's a problem.
Yeah, I initially saw this too. We have a low draw possibility too, but I think we're probably dead to that low. I think this 5 deuce 8 6 probably might have us beat.
Well, I know, but we could hit a 3 and get it. So
when I said tens are live, I didn't realize this guy already has a 10.
Yeah,
out, so.
A 10, we don't worry about that. We're worried about an ace or a 9 giving that guy straight,
exactly.
Which is what I talked about for 5 minutes. All right, so we bet out again?
All right, we bet out again, and it's called around one more time.
Oh, man, this is a boring hand. Move on to the next hand of the week.
7th Street, we get the king of diamonds, does nothing for us. No one else is willing to tell us what they got, so we're going to have to go on just guesswork.
I would just check now. I would just check. I didn't make my low. I only have 3 of a kind. If the other guy had 3 nines, he could have filled up on the end.
This is a check, call, one bet.
Check, call, one bet.
Check, think about it if it's a race.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you think, Mike?
Well, I'm probably going to go ahead and bet.
Are you?
I mean, no one has shown any strength at all through this whole hand.
That's a bad decision.
Yeah, but you got 3 players that are obviously got something they're working on there. So it's 3 cards you had to dodge, and you may not have been good to begin with.
You're
going to
get
probably.
Called by 2 pair. You're going to get called by any low.
Every hand here has a straight draw.
Yeah,
every single
true.
One.
That's true.
There's no way.
You got no low. You got 3 aces. All right. I can see that.
I would check.
All right, good.
Check, call, one bet.
Big Guru is on us. He checks. The 5, deuce, 8, 6 bets out. It's raised by the initial raiser way back long ago, back when we had totally messed up the hand. The 9-6-7 king. The other guy in between gets out of the way and now gets back to us, so we got to call at least 2 here with somebody who bet out.
Well, your stack size was 1,495. You've already, the pot is so big now, your tournament life is basically going to be over. You have to call.
Well, if you call, then it gets raised again behind you and then capped, and then you're
probably out of chips by that time.
Are you out of chips at that point?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, we're talking about 320 for a two bet on the end.
Yeah.
Plus, you've already bet out twice on four on fifth and sixth, which is another 320.
Well, I know that if I still had some chips left, I'd probably get away from it. I just can't tell how much.
We put in
left.
Half our stack already, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
At least half your stack.
I don't know. I think I'd probably call because I'm a donk, but I might fold if I was a good player.
I'm not going to fold three aces in this spot.
All right, I'm folding. Not do it. Since you're not, I'm folding.
All right, well, I'm folding here because the problem is that the person that bet out obviously has a low. And the person who raised obviously does not have a low.
Yeah, with the king nine showing.
So I'm pretty sure that the low is going to try to do some whipsaw here. Although they might be afraid that we have a low too, but I'm afraid of a raise.
Why am I afraid of this guy who had the nine, had pocket kings in the hole?
Ooh, interesting. Interesting.
I'm just looking at the board now. I'm thinking that could be something what he had. Now he filled up on the river with whatever paired him. So
could be.
But anyway.
All right, well, our hero calls, and of course the low does raise. It's just called once more by the last person. Of course, at this point, was one more bet. So.
Well, that's good.
Might as well put it in, right? The low person that bet out shows seven of spades, four of hearts, five of diamonds, two of clubs, eight of hearts, six of spades, four of clubs for straight eight high and a 76 low. Our other hero shows ten of hearts, ten of diamonds, nine of spades, six of clubs, seven of diamonds, king of clubs, eight of clubs for straight to the 10. And, of course, we muck and have very little left to play.
So he basically completed with three in the middle. That's just horrible.
Isn't it?
That's horrible. I mean, he got paid off in the end, but that's horrible. Wow. Yeah, you can't put him on that hand. You know, completing with 8, 9, 10. I mean, give me a break.
And then, you know, check calling all the way, trying to hit something. And
yeah. Wow, that's pretty weird. Well, good hand. Sort of.
Yeah, and our hero lasted, limped four more hands before getting booted out with rolled up aces.
Oh, man.
Tough way to go.
You know, I was playing stud 8 heads up the other night, 1-2. And I had rolled up sixes, and I slow played it until 5th Street, then raised him. He called, and then on the turn, he pairs his door. I'm on 6th Street, he pairs his door card, and I lose to three tens. And I can never win when I'm rolled up. It's so weird. It was heads up.
Yeah. I've lost a lot of rolled up hands, too, it seems like.
Brutal.
Online, especially.
Yeah, online.
Where, you know, you just, you're thinking after 5th Street, I better fill up, or this hand's no good.
Yeah, unbelievable. Well, Mike, we're glad you're back, and now we have something to say about the prize.
Yes, and remember to...
You want Mike to spin the wheel?
Email the hand of the week to podcast at anyupmagazine.com. And Mike, you're a special guest. Go ahead and give that.
Yeah, let me get my mitts on this
Make
thing.
Sure you get it all the way around.
It's got to go all the way around.
Yeah. Twice would be
Drew,
awesome.
Yeah, Drew
okay,
Carey.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, right.
What is that? What game
is that,
Scott?
That's the little hiker going up on Price is Right. That's
Sorry,
the wrong
guys.
Game.
It's the Matterhorn or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is.
BitGuru, you win a wonderful Shades card protector from PokerFaces.tv. It's the one that kind of looks like Blazman's avatar on that other site.
Yeah, I don't even look at the avatar, so I wouldn't even know.
It's got the nice little fro, though, so it'd be really intimidating at the table.
Now you can't even say the site; you have to say the other side. All right, guys, I see where this is going.
It's brand X.
We're dedicated.
All right, well, send us that address. We'll get that swag right out to you, and everybody else, send all your stuff. We got lots of swag on the swag shelf left, but you have to send us something to get it.
We're just not going to mail stuff out to random addresses in the phone book. Mike, thanks for coming back. Glad you're safe, and love having you on the show. And we'll
I'm
have
always
you on again
safe,
real soon.
Scott. I mean, Chris, and it's great to be back.
Mike practices safe poker. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And we'll see you at the tables. Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network. Everybody coughs at the end.